Hey, Dylan Kelly here, host of the Wave Break podcast. Excited to get into this episode, but first, here's a quick word from our sponsor. If you're looking to grow your business, there's only one way, and that is by building real quality customer relationships. Most marketing software will claim they do this, but they never deliver on their promises, and you need to demand more from your marketing software. And that's where Klaviyo comes in. Klaviyo helps you build meaningful customer relationships by listening and understanding cues from your customers, allowing you to easily turn that information into valuable marketing messages. And that's why 10,000 innovative brands, including all of our clients at WaveBreak, have switched to Klaviyo. Now, what's the secret to building those customer relationships? Tune in to Klaviyo's Beyond Black Friday docuseries to find out and unlock exact marketing strategies you can use to keep momentum going all year round. Just head over to klaviyo.com/beyondbf for more. Link is going to be down in the show notes below. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the WaveBreak podcast. I'm your host, Dylan Kelly. I'm the founder of WaveBreak. And if you're new here, I help Shopify stores stop leaking revenue with done-for-you email marketing. So the reality is that you're leaving big money on the table if email marketing isn't your biggest revenue driver. And you could do email yourself, but it's hard and time-consuming. You know, there's a reason why so many stores, you know, get to a substantial amount of revenue and they're still not doing email to its full potential. Not just because there's not enough time in the day, there's not enough people on their team. You've probably experienced this for yourself and you need a team of experts to manage it for you, but you don't have time to go out and build a team and you can't afford to build this big team. That's why at WaveBreak, we help e-commerce stores stop leaking revenue with done-for-you email marketing. And you can learn more about what we do at wavebreak.co, or you can shoot me an email directly to dylan@wavebreak.co, and I'll send over the next steps. So without further ado, we've got a great episode for you guys today. And today's topic is how to stop drowning in customer service tickets. Well, let me ask you, does this sound like you? So I'm going to start a quote. So I just got out of the holiday season and keeping up with the customer service was a nightmare. I don't want to do that again. End quote. Does that sound familiar? Because customer service is a ton of work, but it's extremely important in any e-commerce business. And today on the show, we talk about how to scale your customer service without the headaches. And I'm joined by Vincent Famvan, head of growth at Simplr. He's an e-commerce and customer support veteran with, he has a ton of tips and tricks up his sleeve that he shares with us on this episode. So I'm super stoked to get into it. So without further ado, let's hop right into it. Thanks so much for coming on the show, Vincent.
Hey, Dylan, thanks so much for having me. Love all the actionable feedback that you're feeding to merchants on your show.
Absolutely, man. I'm super pumped to talk about customer service because I know it's a big problem that a lot of growing stores are dealing with. And, you know, I just want to tackle that. And I'd love to hear your expertise on it. So I'm really excited to get into this episode. But first things first, before we get into that, why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself? So who is Vincent?
Yeah, so my background, I've run online stores in the past, and I actually worked for a decade for Best Buy. And so I grew up in the retail world and then have been watching the retail world shift into the e-com world and then, oddly enough, back into an omni-channel world where it's going back to brick and mortar. And along the way, I've worked on customer service for a lot of different brands. And so I've actually supported so many of the Fortune 100 brands that Simplr was started to be able to basically help other entrepreneurs scale support because, like you mentioned, it ends up being a kind of activity that ends up being challenging for many folks to do as they're focused on the core business, which is growing the business.
Totally, totally. And speaking of Simplr, like, what do you guys do at Simplr and like, what are you seeking to accomplish? Like, what's your mission over there?
So our mission for Simplr is two-part. The first one is we want to help entrepreneurs scale their business. We want to provide them with top-notch, really scalable solutions that help them with challenges that they're facing in the business. The second side of Simpler's mission is actually to provide meaningful work for folks around the United States. And so how that's come to life today is we can actually provide on-demand customer service and sales staffing for businesses that sell things online. And so we have a network of folks across the U.S. who are available on demand that can help businesses with things like chat, email, text message, however they're interacting with customers. We provide folks as well as technology that helps scale these interactions.
Nice. So no outsourced call centers or anything like that?
No, we're not big fans of big buildings with rows of aisles and, you know, people sitting at computers, because the reality is these entrepreneurs and you and I are doing work from our laptop from almost anywhere with an internet connection. And we think that it's definitely possible. And we've built a model that allows folks in the U.S. to be able to do this type of work from their laptop in the comfort of wherever they like to work.
Love it, especially because, you know, I really value remote work. Wavebreak's a remote company, so I'm a huge fan of that. That's awesome. And so I already want to unpack things you're saying, because it's really intriguing. But before that, I just kind of want to dive into like customer service first, like the basics. So like, this is one of the toughest problems, like as you scale, is keeping up with customer service and keeping customers happy. Like it's a, I hate to call it a necessary evil, because like, you know, you love your customers and you want the best for them, but it is really difficult to keep up with. Like, what are some of the biggest challenges that you see stores facing, like with customer service as they grow?
I mean, the biggest challenge and the most clear pain point is most of the time, store founders, the founder of the company, will be the first customer service person. And then there will be kind of marketing drive and additional resources that come on there. And eventually you have to hire your first customer service person or your first person that's shipping whatever it is that you're selling online out to folks. But scaling customer service ends up being really challenging. And the atmosphere and kind of the industry right now, 24/7 access to live chat is becoming the norm. And so to be able to compete with the big guys, to be able to live up to what the larger brands are doing and trying to disrupt them, customer service ends up being something that's really important to be able to do. And it is a differentiator for most of the digitally native brands right now. When you take a look at the best direct-to-consumer brands that are taking market share from larger companies, one of their differentiators, in addition to obviously vertical manufacturing and owning the entire supply chain and being able to produce high quality prices at a fraction of the cost of the others, is really good support and really good policies that de-risk the purchase. And so we've talked to so many brands and we work with so many brands where being able to have customer-friendly practices and being able to build one-on-one relationships between the brand and their customers is essential to being able to build an audience and build a community that really stands behind your brand and is really excited about being a part of your brand.
Yeah, I love that. I want to first dive into, like you said, like, okay, so these store owners, like you start the store, it starts growing fast. And like in the beginning, you're doing all the customer service yourself. Like at what point should somebody start to, because I know there's people listening to this podcast who have stores doing, you know, substantial revenue and volume, and they're still in the weeds of customer service. Like at what point should somebody be removing themselves from customer service?
Yeah, I think removing yourself is tough, because as a founder or when it's something that you're so close to, letting go and trusting somebody else can be really challenging. The thing is, though, is that there are going to be different types of questions that your customers ask you. And the questions that are really repetitive and the questions that are monotonous, it's not a value-added activity for the founder to be doing something like that themselves, especially when they can be focused on a different area of the business. So these are the types of things like customers asking, what is your return policy? Or do you have this item in stock? Or, you know, my package got shipped out and the tracking number says it's here, but I don't see it. The thing is, though, is that we actually love it when businesses are really connected to their customers on things like, I wish you had this size of a product available, because that can actually generate business insights that you can turn around and use that to improve your product. So being able to distinguish between the two of what's transactional and what can actually drive improvements in your product is really important. And the first thing to do is when you feel yourself spending a lot of time on tickets where you're not learning a ton about the customer and product market fit, it's time to move those tickets to somebody else right away.
Totally. And like when you go to like remove yourself, like who should you go to hire? Like, am I hiring someone full-time in the US, part-time in the US? Are they remote? Are they, do I want them to sit behind me? Do I go to the Philippines? I heard good things about that. Like what do you think the best route to go is?
Yeah, I think I'm a little biased here because we've built a solution to basically address this exact need. But I can tell you what is the most common things and the different things that many store owners do. So the first thing that you can do is you can hire your first employee. The challenges with, or the upside of this, is you have an employee that really knows your brand, really knows your processes, oftentimes is somebody that you sit next to. And so you can train them and you can really, really stay close to them and control the experience. The downside of doing that is it's very costly. That's one of the most expensive ways to scale your business. And your cost per conversation that you have with a customer, that is by far the highest. So then you have other options like hiring contractors or part-timers. And the challenge there, or the upside there, is you get some of the same, where you can still work with that person and you can help that person get better and make sure that they live up to your expectations. The downside there is there's risk in it because you don't know if a week before Black Friday, they're going to take off. And even, you know, many right. of the times you can find really great folks, but really great folks also still get sick. And so you end up still having risk in the business by doing that. And the third thing that you mentioned is the Philippines. There are really amazing people in the Philippines who can do a really good job. And the cost is the biggest thing that drives folks to go to the Philippines. The thing that I would say is that when somebody considers doing that is you really have to have a playbook for your customer service, meaning you really have to know what your most common questions are, what the answers are, and you have to provide almost step-by-step guidance to somebody in the Philippines to be able to really deliver at the level that you want them to deliver. And then your fourth choice is to partner with another company. There's a lot of different companies there. And I think the biggest challenge that we've seen in the traditional outsourcing industry is really complex contracts, really long terms, and really big upfront commitments, along with it takes a lot of time to be able to get started with them. So that was kind of the atmosphere before Simplr. And when we, as entrepreneurs, many of us starting different ventures, were looking at that, we said, gosh, these options are really not great. And, you know, the most scalable solution is working with another partner company where they reach the efficiencies and can provide a high quality service at a fraction of the cost because they can reach those efficiencies. But their contract terms were just so inflexible. Their pricing was really complicated to be able to understand. And those are the types of things that we set out to be able to just build a different model. So with the Simplr model, what we were excited about, or the things that we didn't like, were the contracts. So we got rid of that. There's no contracts. The other thing, the upfront cost investment, you know, the reality is all the tools that you use to be able to build an online store all have free trials. But when it comes to outsourcing customer service, traditionally, you'd have to pay a couple thousand dollars on the low end just to get started. And so we said, hey, that sucks. So we have a free trial as well. And the other one is you have to commit to volume with a lot of other companies. So you have to say, yes, I want X number of people for X number of hours per month. And so I'm going to commit to $2,000 a month as an example. And instead, what we did is, just like many other software solutions, we scale up and down and you just pay for what you use.
Nice. And so one thing that you mentioned that I think is really interesting is like the whole like onboarding process and like how, like when you bring a customer service person on, like either way, they're going to have to learn your store. And then there's these, like some questions are easier than others. So like, obviously you guys have trained a bunch of customer service people. So like, what is your, like, what's your process for doing that? Like, how do you ramp people up? How do you build this, you know, knowledge base of answers? And how do you handle the complex questions too?
Yeah, great question. So I've worked in the call center world in my past life, and I'll tell you how old school call centers do it is you get a bunch of people and you go into a classroom and, you know, you put a PowerPoint thing up and you train them. And for Simplr, we actually don't train our folks. And we're a technology company based in San Francisco. We have three data scientists on staff. And part of what we wanted to do is, hey, there's AI is really, really advancing. And we took a look at building technology that would basically allow our Simplr specialists to have the answers at their fingertips. So I know that's, you know, sounds really complicated. So let me tear that down for you. So let's say that you have an e-commerce store and you've been answering your own tickets for a few months. And so many customers have already asked you about what your return policy is. What we'll do is we'll actually analyze how your customers have asked questions in the past and how you've answered them. And we'll tag that ticket with a tag like return policy. Then once we start answering tickets for a brand, when somebody asks about the return policy, we'll actually provide the suggested answer to our Simplr specialist. And that way we don't actually have to have 3 to 5 weeks of classroom training where we're teaching people about the return policy for every single company that they're supporting. And so as a question comes in about the return policy, you see right on your screen what the exact return policy is for that brand, which helps you have the information and knowledge to be able to answer the question. But since you're obviously a human being, if it's a Friday, you're going to throw in the hope you have a great weekend. If it's Super Bowl Sunday, obviously you have to mention something about that, especially if the customer this year, you know, lived in Boston or lived in LA. And those are the types of things that oftentimes you don't get that level of experience working either with contractors or working with somebody in the Philippines. And so we've been able to blend the best of AI along with really awesome humans across the US to be able to give stores access to this type of support and this type of experience for their customers.
Right. And so like with that being said, like how fast are these people responding to these like inquiries?
Yeah, we've seen, so as e-commerce stores launch in the early days of stores, on average, the industry is about 21 hours for email. So the average e-commerce store, when they're running their first customer service or they're hiring their first employees for customer service is about 21 hours. In almost all instances for Simplr, our clients have been able to cut that in half or more. And so we've been really excited to be able to provide fast responses. And many of our responses do go out in within the hour. And the reason why this is really important on email is because many of your customers are looking for this information to make a purchase decision. And for things like live chat, it's important to be even faster because you have somebody on your website. And so if somebody's on your website and you sell a widget and they're asking, oh, is this compatible with iOS or Android? They're waiting on that information before they make a decision. And you've already paid so much money, whether that's through influencers, whether that's through ads, whether it's through retargeting to get them onto your website. If that's the last piece of information that they need before making a purchase, that's what you want to be able to give to them and to be able to drive that conversion right away. And so you can't have that 21-hour response time in order to be able to take advantage of closing all these sales.
Right. And like, what kind of impact, like, have you seen any, like, I don't know if you guys have any statistics on this, but I was just wondering, like, what kind of impact does, and like, have you seen this fast response time have on conversion rate?
What I'll tell you is that all of the best brands right now are looking at live chat this year, and they're all looking at it for the same reason. And, you know, 50% of customers expect a response in under a minute on something like live chat. And these are the types of things that they're really looking for. And I like the question that you're asking, though, in terms of what the value of having good support is. So many people think of customer service, as you even described it at the beginning, as just this pain, this something that you don't want to deal with. The best brands today are actually looking at it as an investment. meaning that it's something that directly drives your customer lifetime value and directly drives your AOV or average order value. And so this makes sense if you're talking to a customer on your website, because by chatting with that customer, if there's additional items that they're interested in or additional items that go well with the main item that they're buying, for instance, if you're online buying boots and you have a question about how to clean those boots, what a great place to be able to ask that question and then make sure that you get a boot cleaner in the cart along with it. At the same time, it also helps you reduce your returns because you're making sure that the customer gets the right size or they're getting exactly the right material or the right version that's compatible with their other items.
Right. And live chat's really interesting. I was going to ask you, like, do I need live chat? And another thing I was curious about is, like, are some customer demographics, like, different when it comes to live chat? Like, are others more flaky than others and just asking more questions? And that, have you noticed anything like that?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we took a look at data across all of our clients, and we also took a look at third-party research data as well. And there was a quote that actually came out from Forrester. It was from Kate Leggett at Forrester, where she said, voice is increasingly evolving to become an escalation, not a primary service channel. And phone use for customer service is steadily decreasing. And this is pretty much in line with what we're seeing with all of our clients. Is it's, you know, the days of having to have a phone number on the top right corner of your website are kind of gone. And the reason is because if you and I were talking, I don't know about you, but I would much rather text you before potentially calling you and interrupting what you're doing. And maybe if it's something that we need to jump on the phone, like, we'll text, make sure that we're available, and then we'll talk.
Right. Or you think of, like, where we are with e-commerce and, like, how much of it happens on mobile. Like we're getting to a point where almost 100% of this is going to be on mobile, and people are lying in bed, they're on the subway, they're doing a bunch of different things where, like, they can't necessarily make a phone call.
Yeah.
But they can send a live chat. Right.
Yeah, the multitasking there is really, really key. So you asked about different generations. And so the research basically shows, so across five different generations right now, you have your silent, which is your older generation, your baby boomers, Gen X, millennial, and Gen Z. So for your silent generation, over 80% of them actually prefer voice as a primary channel. Probably not surprising. That actually decreases with baby boomers. And then for Gen X, it actually goes all the way down to about 25% of Gen X prefer phone. So the question then is, well, what do the other 75% prefer? And those would be digital channels like email, like text message, like chat. And it's also starting to expand out into social media. And so for millennials, this goes down even more, where less and less millennials prefer voice as a channel. And millennials would definitely prefer to start a conversation in chat or an email. Or for the brands that are really forward, it's starting in social media. So these conversations are happening in direct messages, whether it's on Instagram, whether it's on Facebook, or sometimes even in the comments. When a brand puts an advertisement out or posts a Instagram post or a story, it's happening in comments, literally on their Facebook feed.
Right, yeah, or it's like, hey, sent you guys a DM and I still haven't heard back. Like, you see people complaining about this.
Yeah, absolutely. And so most often today, a customer will start a conversation in an email channel. And if you don't respond fast enough, the customer will move it to a social channel. Then you end up with this challenge of you didn't respond fast enough, and now you have two inquiries for the exact same issue, and it's moved into a public forum.
Oh, man. And a question for you on that. Like, so how do I deal with these frustrated customers if I can't keep up with response times?
Yeah, that's a great question. And that's where moving to 24/7 coverage is something that a lot of stores want to be able to do, but can be a challenging step to do. You know, interesting stat, to be able to have folks covering 24/7, you need about 5 to 6 people. And that makes sense because people need to take lunch breaks and people need to sleep, and not everybody's, you know, working all the time. But that's a big step for companies to be able to do. For Simplr, we solved this by basically having 24/7 is our default for our service. Since the model that we have is pay every time that we have a conversation with a customer and we resolve that customer's issue, or we're able to successfully help that customer. And what's nice with the simpler model is that you're not actually paying for that downtime where you have somebody sitting around waiting for a chat to come in, which is one of the challenging parts with the other models where you're hiring employees or contractors, is you are paying them to sit around and wait for a chat to come in. And that inefficiency in that time is you're just not paying for results.
Right. That makes total sense. And I have a question now. It's like more about like actual customer service strategy. So like, this is just something that I've seen. So like, speaking of the whole Instagram thing, like companies like Fashion Nova have these really strict return policies. Like, how do you deal with that on a customer service end? Are you like strict about it? Or are you more on like the Amazon side where it's like, yeah, we'll refund it? Like, what's your thought process on that?
There's a right answer for every single brand. And I think that that really varies. You know, some of the things that brands should take into account is, are they selling an item that's more of a commodity, or are they selling an item where they're the only ones that produce that item? Other things to take into account as well is big ticket items versus small ticket items. You know, for something like a mattress to purchase online, I don't think, and this is a personal opinion, I don't think a mattress company online would be successful without a good return policy, because you're buying a large ticket item sight unseen. And so having a good policy actually de-risks the purchase and helps you capture customers who haven't seen your product in person. And I think these are some of the things to take into account. At the end of the day, brands need to take a look at customer lifetime value. If they're looking at it from a short-term lens on a transactional basis, then having a really strict return policy is where many of those brands end up going. But when you take a look at successful brands that are looking across the entire lifetime of that customer, that's where sometimes having the customer-friendly policies will end up being a much better longer-term play. With that being said, the best brands are also ensuring that they're reducing fraud by making sure that folks aren't taking advantage of these policies as well.
Interesting. Very interesting. And I like how you look at it from like a dollars perspective too. Because really, if you do the math, like you can really find a clear answer as well. And one thing I want to talk about as well is with this, like I kind of been talking about like these certain headaches that you might experience in customer service. Like, what are some ways, like as we start to wrap up this conversation, like what are some ways that people can prevent customer service headaches before they happen?
Being ready for it and having a system to stay organized is really key. Most stores will start out doing email just in something like a Gmail account. At some point, it'll make sense for that store to move to a ticketing system where it actually brings all of the interactions all into one place. So there's a lot of different ticketing systems out there, but the nice thing is they tell you when you've completed an email and it pulls it off of a to-do list. And then at that point, you can make sure that you don't have tickets that are falling through the cracks. The other thing that's nice about it as well is you can take a look at things like the average amount of time between the time that the customer sends an email in and when that customer gets responded to. And obviously, a customer that's waiting 48 hours for a response isn't great, but being able to have that information and being able to optimize to that is the first key part of being able to plan for something like that. You know, with Simpler, we're a great backup plan for a lot of stores as well, because we plug into many of these ticketing systems and our service can be turned on and off anytime. You can pause it or unpause it anytime. We actually had a company that reached out to us Labor Day weekend because they were really, really successful over the summer with a campaign, and they found themselves in a situation where they had thousands of tickets that were waiting to be responded to. The nice thing is they already had one of these ticketing systems, and so all of the information lived in a place where we could just plug into it, and literally within 3 hours, we were answering tickets, and Simpler cleared out their queue in a matter of days. Same thing on Black Friday this year, we had a brand that went from hundreds of tickets to thousands of tickets in a day, and being able to partner, you know, that's what happens when you have marketing that just goes viral. And being able to partner with a brand, a company like Simpler that gives you on-demand access to US-based Simpler specialists allows you to be able to scale up instantly. And so they had a first response time that was really, really quick even before Black Friday. and after Black Friday, as they went up to thousands of new emails and tickets a day, they actually maintained that exact same response time because Simplr was able to just scale the number of people who were working on their tickets instantly.
Wow, man. That's awesome. And I love, too, how you give all the examples, just because I think it's so helpful, especially in this industry, because like we're talking about, like, everyone's remote, everyone's working from their laptop. So it can almost be like lonely. And it's just like almost everyone is just, you know, rolling, doing their own thing, trying to figure things out. And that's why people listen to podcasts like this, is to get examples and to, you know, get those kind of ideas. So I really appreciate you coming on the show and giving all that value and sharing all those examples. As we start to wrap up here, and before we sign off, like, do you have, if there's anything you want to end on, like, do you have any closing thoughts or words of advice you'd like to finish out with?
Yeah, customer service is important for sure. You know, customer service, a lot of the times, many brands see it as a cost center. And our biggest advice to brands is to really take a look at what their long-term goals are. You know, Amazon has really raised the bar for what good support is. And you have successful online and direct-to-consumer companies like Casper and Dollar Shave Club and Chewy who have really put customer service at the forefront of their brand. And this is really what drives customers to love these brands. Something that I thought was really interesting was, of high household incomes, 79% of them, if they have a bad experience with a brand, which is they're looking at the customer service experience, they actually won't shop with that company for at least 2 to 3 years, which means that, yeah. And so when you take a look in the e-commerce, almost all of our conversations in e-com is about acquisition cost. And so can you imagine obtaining that customer and then just one hiccup in the experience after they've given your brand a shot, you've now lost them for 3 years. And so this is really where being able to have great service flips that experience around, where if you have a customer with a good experience and they're out telling other folks, now you're acquiring customers for free via word of mouth. And this is the thing that we're most excited about, is being able to give entrepreneurs access to enterprise grade, really high quality customer service that's affordable. And we've really priced our model to be 40 to 60% more affordable than other solutions like hiring a contractor. And it's really flexible and built for entrepreneurs. And so when we were looking at other companies that would make you sign a 3-year contract, you know, many of the brands that we were talking to said, yeah, we hate that with other companies because we've only been around for a year. How do we even know if we're going to be here in 3 years to sign a 3-year contract? And so that's where we're really excited to be able to provide this really flexible model that you can turn on and off anytime, scale up and down anytime. And it combines the best of artificial intelligence and humans, real humans, all in the US, to be able to provide your customers with a really great experience.
Awesome. And speaking of Simplr, as we wrap up here, where can we go to learn more about you and your company?
Yeah, great question. So we are online, simplr.ai. That's SIMPLR.AI. And we also have an offer for everybody who's listening here. We're going to do 7 days of free customer service for anybody who's listening to this podcast and thinks they might need help moving to 24/7 support.
Awesome. Well, I will link all of that up down in the show notes below. If you have a customer service need, definitely go check it out. Vincent's a great guy. They have an awesome service. And thanks so much for coming on the show, Vincent. I even personally learned a lot, so it was really great to have you in and to learn about this and the shift that everything's making, or and all the shifts that are going on right now in customer service.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a blast, and always enjoy chatting with you.
Now, listener, before I sign off, stop me if this sounds familiar. Your email marketing is stuck. You feel like you could be doing email better. You're not generating enough email revenue, and you feel like you're leaving money on the table. But you don't have the time to figure email out yourself or do it on your own because you have a business to run. Imagine this. Imagine not having to worry about leaving money on the table with your email marketing. Imagine not having to figure out what to send, when to send it, how many emails should look, what automation you need, what segments you need, how often you should be contacting your email list, or just worrying about sending the next email. You don't have to worry about any of that. Imagine having peace of mind knowing that your email marketing is generating sales in good hands. At Wavebreak, we help Shopify stores maximize their email marketing revenue. That's it. We don't do anything else. And we've created a system called the Wavebreak method that, number one, makes you less dependent on Facebook or other marketing channels. Let's say something bad happens. Facebook says, see you later, Shopify store, and they just completely kill your ad traffic overnight. You don't have to worry. You don't have to stress because you're good to go because you have a cushion of email revenue. You don't have to worry about how or what your wife is going to do or if you're going to be able to make rent or if you're going to be able to pay people because you have this cushion of email revenue to rely on. Number two, the second thing this does is huge, and it's how stores scale from 7 figures to 8 figures to 9 figures. And the secret is repeat purchases. The Wavebreak method gets rid of one-time buyers and increases repeat orders. Number three, it keeps your email list engaged. You don't have to worry about Black Friday and beyond. We'll figure out the ideal amount of times that your list needs to be contacted to maximize revenue, and then we'll execute it for you. If you want to learn more about this system and how we can work together to apply it to your business, go to wavebreak.co to schedule a call with me. And I'll personally send you my calendar link and we can chat one-on-one. Now, I don't have unlimited time to do these calls. I can only do a couple of them per week. So if you want to get your call, go sign up at wavebreak.co for it as soon as possible and we can talk about how we can work together. Thanks for listening to this episode. Subscribe to the show on iTunes to get notified of new episodes as soon as they drop.